today as we come to the table.
Lay your heart out before the Lord when these things happen. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but let God know your heart and make an appeal to Him. You're the God that has done this for our believers throughout centuries. You can do this for me. And so this is what they're doing, crying out to God, and God hears them. Again, God gives them wisdom here. And I love this because, again, this fear and panic that's coming upon them, that's what most people do. And again, that's our natural response. We get afraid and we panic. And while the other guys were no doubt going to bed in fear and panic, Daniel and his companions were going to God in faith. And that's the difference between those who rise in these situations and those who fall.
Have you ever had a situation that made you so desperate for God's help? Daniel and his three friends sure did, unless they could do the impossible task of telling the king what his dream was and what it meant, they would be executed. There was nothing they could do except cry out to God for help. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches you that turning to God is the best thing you can do during those moments. While others may rely on their own strength or succumb to fear and panic, as believers, we can put our faith in God who holds the entire universe in the palm of His hands. What do you need His help with today? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Chaldeans, verse 10, answered the king and said, "There's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there's no other that can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." Well, I thought that's what you guys were connected to, the gods. I thought by all your stars that you looked at in astrology and all your tarot cards and all your medium, I thought you could find out what was going on with the gods or what's happening spiritually. Are you telling me you've been fake this whole time? You're revealing yourself right now that you don't know what you're talking about. So they're not going to get through the king on this one. They're kind of exposing themselves. It's kind of like recently, there was a psychic place that went out of business in California. The headline of the article said, "We never saw it coming." He says, you know, nobody can do this. This is impossible, he said, except for those that are the gods. And look at verse 12. "For this reason, the king was angry and he was very furious, and he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." Look at how irrational this guy was. It wasn't like, "Okay, you guys blew it." It's like, "Kill them all. Kill them all." And I can imagine the look on their faces. Can you imagine being there, the way you would feel all of a sudden? And all of a sudden, there you are. Guaranteed, those in that room probably all got killed right there at that moment. Probably just, they killed them in some form and fashion right there in the room. And he began to send his executioners out, kill them all and throughout the kingdom. Word began to spread very quickly what was going on. But the terror and the horror of this moment, he can do this. He's made up his mind. He's not going to take any flack. You got to tell me or it's over. Notice this. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men. Again, word would have spread quickly what's going on, which means Daniel and his companions would have heard about it. And notice they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Now, again, the moment they heard, they were going to take action. And notice what it says in verse 14. "Then with counsel and wisdom," I believe that what he did was he probably got together immediately with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Said, "Guys, you've heard what's happening here. We need to seek God." That doesn't tell us they did, but knowing Daniel being a man of prayer, they no doubt cried out to God. We see that throughout the scripture. Daniel was a man of prayer, so they no doubt cried out to God first. Then no doubt said, "God, give us wisdom." They began to kind of brainstorm. And we're going to see they came up with a plan to say, "Look, when the executioner comes, let's just say, why is it so urgent? Just give me a minute. Let us seek our God and see if we can give you an answer." And so God gives them wisdom, maybe a way they can stall it so that God can show himself. I can imagine them talking, saying, "Look, God help us with the eating situation. We got some time and God intervened. God will help us with this situation as well." And so it says, "With counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch." Here comes the executioner, Arioch. He enters the room And he says to him, the captain of the king's guard who'd gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? And then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Again, this interaction just shows how favored Daniel was in the kingdom. Rather than the executioner just coming and killing him and running him through, he took time to talk to Daniel. So it shows you the favor that God was giving Daniel, the protection that God was giving Daniel. And again, now giving a reasonable thing. No doubt the executioner realized, well, this is reasonable. And notice his first question, you know, why so urgent? In other words, must you simply kill everyone before any of the other king's counselors can talk to him? Again, a reasonable request, but remember, he's unreasonable. And so he's asking him to do something to an unreasonable king. Then he tells him, Arioch tells Daniel what's going on. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time. So again, I'll think about the boldness this took, whether through Arioch or personally going in to ask the king to give him time. He asked the king to give him time. This is the kind of king, don't ask for time. My decision is firm. I said, kill them all. But again, you see God giving Daniel favor because Daniel sought God. Daniel cried out to God and got wisdom and counsel. By the way, a great life lesson for us, and I think we probably know this, but whenever these things happen in our life, where something happens that is very dramatic or we need God to intervene, the first thing we do is run to God and then get godly counsel. These are wise things to do. And this is exactly what Daniel was doing. You cry out to God. And listen, when you cry out to God with all of your heart in impossible situations, God intervenes. I've shared with you guys before about, you know, when you were here early in the ministry and I'd let our insurance run out. Literally, we had a bill that came one day after I let it run out, thousands of dollars. And I called up the insurance company and I said, oh my goodness, our insurance kind of is one day late and we have this bill. What do I do? They said, there's nothing you can do. Your insurance is canceled and there's nothing we can do. It's just, there's the date and that's when it stops. And I remember getting off the phone and just kind of going, oh my goodness. And I start, you know, with Lord, you brought me here. No, not a bad way, but Lord, I'm your servant. You brought me here. You know that we don't have a lot of money. You know what's going on in our life. You know that we can't come up with thousands of dollars. I'm working at Cracker Barrel waiting tables. You know that this insurance company, they're not exactly going to like, you know, I can't talk them into it. They're in for the money. They're not for me. God intervened. I remember where Hezekiah took that letter and laid it out before the Lord, you know, when Sennacherib was challenging. I took that letter that the insurance company is saying, sorry, we're going to decline paying for your bills. I laid it out before the Lord in the sanctuary, laid it out there in the old building. I said, God, look at what they're saying. I know they don't know that I'm here serving you, but I moved across the country to serve you. And yes, I messed up. I'm not blaming you. It's my fault, but I need you right now. I don't have the thousands to pay this. I kid you not. They called me back within a couple of days and said, you know what? We've decided to cover your bill. That's the kind of God we serve. What insurance company, when you don't have coverage, calls you up? You didn't call. They call you and say, we're going to give you thousands of dollars. Tell me that's not God Almighty. All right? Now, why do I share that? So that you can have hope. You can see God's going to bring the test in your life. God's going to let you. And it also got me off the hook with Tracy because I said, hey, God's going to let me forget to, you know, keep up with the insurance. So it was all good in every way, you know? Anyway, no excuse for me. I dropped the ball there. But God was faithful. So whether we drop the ball or whatever we find our situation, God is faithful. And God is going to be faithful now to Daniel because he realizes Daniel loves him. God put him in this impossible position so that God might show his power and his glory. So he asked the king, goes in, give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Again, very bold move with this irrational king, but God's favor is on him. Then Daniel went to his house, and he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and his companions. Now, they knew about the executions. That's not what he's making known. Everybody would have known about that, especially all the wise men around the king. What he's making known to them is why the king was so urgent. Their question was, why is this so urgent? Because the king just said, boom, I want to answer, I want it now. You're a bunch of phonies, you're a bunch of fakes, and that's why. So he goes back and tells the guys, well, they don't really have any answers because they don't know God. We know God. Maybe God will tell us. They've given us a little bit more time is the idea here. And so notice this. He told his companions, verse 18, that they might seek the mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the men of Babylon. You can imagine them praying, oh God, we were brought here against our will. Lord, we're serving you, God. We made a stand when we needed to, when they tried to have us eat the defiled food. We've honored you, God. Lord, hear us. We've done this. I encourage you, lay your heart out before the Lord when these things happen. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but let God know your heart and make an appeal to him. You're the God that has done this for our believers throughout centuries. You can do this for me. And so this is what they're doing, crying out to God, and God hears them. Again, God gives them wisdom here. And I love this because, again, this fear and panic that's coming upon them, that's what most people do. And again, that's our natural response. We get afraid and we panic. And while the other guys were no doubt going to bed in fear and panic, Daniel and his companions were going to God in faith. And that's the difference between those who rise in these situations and those who fall. We have to run to God. He is our only hope. They knew that. And the result is God is going to reveal to them the secret. Notice what happens. Verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Now again, was he awake? Was he asleep? We talked about visions kind of go back and forth in that whole dream world, if you will. We don't know. But either way, God revealed it to him. And all of a sudden, Daniel realizes what the answer is. And when you see the great detail that God gives him, he gets up, whatever his situation is, he's extremely excited. He blessed the God of heaven, I'll bet. He's like, thank you, God. Thank you, on a number of levels. Number one, we're not going to die. We're going to live. Number two, you've shown me the future. Number three, I get to be the messenger to go and tell Nebuchadnezzar this. It's going to blow his mind. Lord, maybe he'll come to know you through this. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar did get saved later by Daniel's witness and by seeing what Daniel's God could do. So this was an extremely exciting moment for Daniel. It was a very honoring moment for Daniel. And Daniel basically writes a psalm here. No doubt he ran to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're all celebrating together and thanking God and praising him. Daniel answered and said, under the inspiration of the Spirit here, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Again, this is heartfelt praise. This is true praise. It's a result of God's greatness. It's pouring out of him. But notice through this whole thing, he gives God the glory in every turn. We're going to see the word he and his all through this. Why? Daniel realizes, I had nothing to do with this. God did this, and I'm going to give God all the glory. We're going to see the humility and the honoring of God in Daniel through this whole process. And notice verse 21, and God changes times and seasons. It's interesting, later on in Daniel, we'll see that the Antichrist is going to change times and law. But what we see is God is the one that controls times and seasons and times and law. We don't know exactly what it means when it says that, but I can see when the Antichrist comes on the scene changing things such as the season of Christmas. Remember, nobody can worship anybody but him. He's not going to just be doing away with the celebrations we have for Jesus Christ. He'll be doing away with anything to do with Ramadan, Islamic stuff. Everything else has got to go. He alone is going to be worshiped at some point. But it's interesting to me that Daniel here, by the inspiration of the Spirit, realizes although he may try to change it, he can't, because it is God that changes the times and the seasons. He controls them. He's sovereign. Look at this. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Again, God, all the honor and glory goes to him. I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you. Again, look at the humility. Daniel could say, you know, God showed it to me. I must be special. There must be something about me. God showed me. No, we were all praying. All of us, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we were crying out to God, and God showed it to us. I happen to be the vessel God gave it to, but he showed it to us, and he acknowledges that you gave what we asked of you, for you've made known to us the king's demand. Again, the excitement here. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, the executioner, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. We don't know how long he had or how long he gave him, probably that very night. And he went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. What a statement. Guys, don't let that just go by. What do I mean by that? He didn't say, spare my life and Daniel, Shadrach. I mean, spare me and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Spare us. Our God of heaven has given us the answer. Notice what he said. Spare the wise men of Babylon. Look at Daniel's heart. It wasn't about just saving me. It's about saving the unsaved. You see, what Daniel realized is that God wants everyone saved. Not just those that are righteous. God wants the unrighteous saved. And if they're put to death now, they will not have a chance to come into the kingdom. He says, don't kill them. Even though they're wicked, even though they have false gods, even though they believe wrong things, even though they vote the way I don't want them to vote. Listen, we think about that and we get riled up. Politics can rile us up faster than about anything. That's why I try to stay away from it, because that's not to cause division. But here's the bottom line. There's a lot of things you see these politicians do that you're right to be angry about. You're right. That is wrong. It is evil. And you're angry. There's nothing wrong in that, okay? There's biblical anger. The Bible says be angry and do not sin, okay? However, when we do that, do we have somewhere in the back of our heart saying, God, even though this person drives me nuts and that is so evil, that makes me angry, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, Lord. Touch their heart. Here's why. Listen, the lake of fire, which we call hell, it's forever. Now, if you think about that for just a moment, I don't care how bad someone is. The lake of fire is forever. It never stops. So whether or not you agree politically or they're doing something evil, how many people have done things evil and repented and come to God? So our prayer should be, God, stop the evil, but have mercy on their soul. I think about Jesus again on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Daniel didn't go in there to save his own neck. He said, it's not just for us. Spare the others. Can you imagine the feelings they would have had toward Daniel when they heard this? The other guys going, why aren't they killing us? Because Daniel asked that you guys would always, I don't know if they told him that or not. Did they tell him? Daniel asked that all of you would be spared. Can you imagine? You might not have liked that right-wing Bible thumping Daniel at that time. But you would have looked at him different. Why did he plead for me? He should have hated me the way I hate him. What's different about Daniel? Because Daniel recognizes there's a God of love that forgives anyone. And Daniel recognizes that eternity is forever. And Daniel recognizes that the Bible says that God desires that none perish. No one. The Lord's desire is that nobody go to hell. Nobody. That's his desire. And so Daniel has that heart. He says, you spare them. Do not destroy the men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Again, this is very exciting. Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king and said to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known the king's interpretation. Can you imagine the king saying, you're kidding me? You found somebody that can do this? And this guy's excited going, I found this man. He can do this. Look what he's going to do. And then verse 26, notice this. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I've seen and its interpretation? Okay, now understand, Daniel, I don't want this interpretation stuff until you can tell me the dream. You can really tell me the dream and give me the interpretation? Now, again, think of it. This would be shocking. He himself realized what he was asking had to be supernatural. That's what's interesting to me. He recognized it had to be supernatural. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Is that powerful or what? Guys, listen, do you realize what a privileged position you're in this morning? The world has no clue what's going on or what's going to happen. They have no clue. God has shown you and I what's going on and what's going to happen. We may not have every detail, but we recognize where we are and where it's going. It is a privilege. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he's revealing them to us. You can't buy that. There's no price for it. It is priceless, if you will. And so he says that there's a God in heaven. You need to know him, Nebuchadnezzar. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar, not me. It's not something I did. He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Now, again, remember prophetically, last days speaks of from the cross until now. So we've been in the last days 2,000 years. Latter days is only used prophetically throughout the Bible consistently for the very, very end. That is the return of Christ. So he says here, he's revealed to you all the way till the very end to the return of Christ. Your dream and the visions upon your bed were these. Can you imagine him sitting up and sliding forward on his throne? Are you kidding me? You're really going to tell me? As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed. Oh my goodness, I haven't even gotten to the dream yet, and you're telling me what I thought on the bed that night. Who are you? Who is your God? It wasn't just the dream he was interpreting. The Lord showed Daniel the whole scene. He gave him every detail, even leading up to the dream. Again, this would have been blowing Nebuchadnezzar's mind. He says, you were thinking about things on your bed, about what would come to pass after this. What's the future? What does the future hold? Is basically what he's saying. You were doing this. That's where you were. He goes, yes, that is where I was. And he said, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. He's like, oh, well, tell me. I want to know. This is amazing to me. Look at this verse 30. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. Again, here's his humility. But for our sakes, who makes known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. God is sparing our life. He wants you to know the thoughts of your heart, but he's showing all of us the future of the kingdom. And now he begins to get into it. Notice this. He says, you, O king, were watching. And behold, a great image. Now, next week, we're going to show you the exact image that he saw in the dream. I'll have it on the screen. I'm kidding. We couldn't really have the exact image. But anyway, we're going to have something similar, okay? Something similar that we're going to put up there, because I'm going to have it there as an illustration for you guys as we walk through it. Again, talking about so you can see it better when we talk about that. But it's a big statue, all right? That's what he's going to see. And notice, it was a great image. The image whose splendor was excellent, that is just, it was just glorious. You knew there was something special about it, stood before you. Its form was awesome. It doesn't mean like cool, like we say today, it was just like overwhelming. This image's head was of fine gold. So we're going to see it's made up of four different metals. It had a head of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, and its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. So it's a statue made up of different metals, different parts. We're going to see it represents four different kingdoms, even down to the feet and the way they're going to be broken up, which is the final kingdom that will be in place when the Lord comes back. And that's exciting. We're going to see what the kingdom is going to be like, which I believe is formulating now. He says, you watched while a stone was cut out without hands. Again, throughout the scripture, the Lord is referred to as our rock, as the stone. He says, a stone was cut out without hands, struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were crushed together down to powder and became like chaff. And from the summer threshing floors, again, the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. That is, it blew completely away just like dust. Okay, so nothing was left of it. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the entire earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. And that's where we'll take up next week. And we'll take up there next week, and we're going to talk about what the image represented, the kings that it represented, where we are in the whole process today, just astounding and amazing. And so it's a lot of exciting things ahead for next week. So you can read ahead and kind of be reading up on that. We'll get into it again into more detail. But as we finish today, guys, here's the main thing I want to get into our hearts, and that is this. Look, prophecy is exciting, and we get very excited about it. We want to know prophecy. We want to be involved in all this. But the thing that's exciting to me is that prophecy is not just of knowing the future. Prophecy gives us hope. And here's why it gives it. Here's why the world has no hope. They see all the bad things happening, and they have nothing beyond that. We see the bad things happening. And by the way, look, the Bible says it's going to get darker as we get to the return of the Lord. It's going to get darker as we get to the time of the Antichrist. We recognize that. We may go through some difficult times, but here's why we have hope. Yes, we know we may go through difficult times, but we see the light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. We see the Lord coming back, establishing his throne there in Jerusalem, ruling and reigning, and we know we're going to rule and reign with him. And when you know what the end is, it gives you hope. The world doesn't have that hope. And that's why prophecy is so important. It gives us hope. It gives us joy of what's coming. And even though it may be hard right now, we know we can endure it. And I love what Jesus said to the church there in Revelation, the church of the days of the rapture, the last days church, when he's talking about all these tough times that are going to happen in the last days, and he's talking about what's happening in Revelation, he says, pray that you may escape these things that are coming upon the earth, which tells me what? We can. He wouldn't say pray that you could if you couldn't. And that means the Lord's going to take us out of here, and I believe that's the representation of the rapture of the church. And so, rejoice. Yes, there's going to be some hard times ahead, but Jesus is coming back. He will place himself on the throne in Jerusalem. We will rule and reign and live with him forever, and every tear will be wiped away, and no matter how weird and bad it gets from that point till now, we have a great future ahead, and it is exciting. So be excited.
Do you find it hard to faithfully serve God in this ever-increasing sinful world? The draw to engage in fleshly desires is strong for sure. So, what do you do when those temptations come? When your faith is challenged, do you trust in God to give you the courage to stand as he did with Daniel and his friends? That's right. Daniel lived during the time of oppressive Babylonian rule, but still managed to serve God. This gives me encouragement. It propels me to follow Daniel's example as I go about my daily tasks. Come to the Tables Ministry flows from Calvary, Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee, where hearts are devoted to spreading the good news of the gospel. If you've been a longtime listener, we're thankful you keep coming back. But we have something to ask you. Would you invite your friends and family to listen to our broadcasts? We welcome newcomers here and at our church service. Would you consider joining Calvary Knoxville on a Saturday evening, Sunday morning, or a midweek evening? For times and directions, visit thewaymedia.net. One more time, that website is thewaymedia.net. We'd encourage you to drop what you're doing and go there now. You won't regret it. In fact, we hope you stay a while and check out other messages of Pastor Mark Kirk's. His teachings go beyond the book of Daniel and are worth a listen. While you're there, don't miss links to our podcasts. This is a great tool to utilize if you're always on the move. Do you have questions or comments about what you heard today? Get started by clicking the Come to the Table tab on thewaymedia.net. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.